Baruchim and Nisa'im, ladies, welcome. Today's Shi'ur is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Hezkiyah Ben Zakiyah. Ruach Adonai Temihenu Began Eden, Amen. That was Mr. Eddie Yedid, Alav Shalom. He was a great man, as I remember him. He was on the board of our great synagogue, Sha'ari Siyon, for many years. And he served as the Mesader. He was the one that used to give the Aliyot out, which arguably is the hardest job in the shul, especially in our shul. To know the science of who to give which Aliyah and when to give it to keep everybody happy. I know my Rabbi Hachem Baruch Alav Shalom had a lot of respect for him. He held him in very, very high esteem. He was a noble man, beautiful man, and he raised an incredible family. I know them all, kulam kedoshim, kulam tehorim, they're all pure, and they're following in his footsteps. That's the girls and the boys, of course, and the grandchildren and all his descendants. It's an honor for us to learn the class in his memory. It was dedicated by his daughter-in-law, Jill, living be well, that's also a member of our synagogue. So the words of Torah should be La'inu Neshama. We have some visitors from his family also. Welcome, Baruchim Abba'im. And we remember your father on the highest level, and the highest esteem. Tehi Nishmato Tzerura B'Tzor HaHayim. Amen. We didn't even start yet. That's supposed to happen when we end. Ladies, we have a challenge here today. I know it's a parasha class, but it came to my attention. The calendar is moving very fast, and I wasn't aware of how fast that it's moving. And one of our members reminded me earlier in the week that that this Shabbat we're going to announce Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is the month of Purim. Rosh Chodesh Adar will be announced this Wednesday. That's Rosh Chodesh. That means 2 weeks from then is Purim. That means a month from then is Pesach. I know when you hear those words, Purim, Pesach, it gets all of us nervous. If you're a lady, certainly you get maybe a drop more nervous because of all the responsibilities. And that also means that the Shabbat always before Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is this Shabbat, we start to read the special parashiyot. There's four special parashiyot that we read. That means this Shabbat will be two Sefrei Torah. Number one, Parashat HaShavua, which is Mishpatim, which I didn't come to talk about today. I came to talk about the second reading, which is Parashat Shekalim. The Shekalim is the mitzvah that was done in the olden days. When Adar would come around, the collectors would go around to the communities and raise money for the maintenance of the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash costs money to run. There's daily sacrifices that have to be brought every day. There's other expenses. And the law says that all Jews, men between 20 and 60, need to participate in the building of the Beit HaMikdash and in its maintenance fees. They wouldn't make a drive every month. They would make a drive once a year. The drive was during this month of Adar. They would collect the money. It would take them about a month to garner all the proceeds. And then in Nisan, whatever they collected, they would put it in special treasuries. And that would last them for the coming year. I know we don't have a Beit HaMikdash today, and so we technically don't have this mitzvah to go around in Adar and collecting money. So we read the parasha as a commemoration to what was done. You know, if you lived in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, this time of year you start to hear announcements all over. Don't forget to give your hefer shekel. Don't give the hefer shekel. Everybody, don't forget to make your donations to the Beit HaMikdash. Today you don't hear that. Today we hear every day making donations. But nonetheless, at least for the Beit HaMikdash, They used to broadcast it this month. So therefore the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read about it in the Sefer Torah. And therefore it's called Shabbat Shekalim, the Shabbat of the half shekel coins. Adar also symbolizes to us something else that the Gemara says in Ta'anit, Mishneknas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, that when the month of Adar comes, we must escalate our level of joy. We amplify our Simcha. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't be B'Simcha all year long. We have to be happy and positive all year long. It's just that when Adar comes, Marbim. Marbim means we add to the Simcha. The question is why? What about the month of Adar that causes us all of a sudden to be Marbim B'Simcha? I must tell you what Rashi says. In the Gemara Ta'anit on page 29, Rashi says two words, Purim V'Pesach, because it symbolizes the beginning of the great holiday season. Purim, which is 2 weeks after, and then a month later Pesach. So when Adar comes in, you're entering the Jewish holiday season. We have two holiday seasons. We have the high holiday season, which we really can't call that a happy time. It's more of a solemn time, a more serious time. But these holidays, Purim and Pesach, are joyous times. So therefore, Mishneknas Adar, we already have the season of the two great holidays, Purim and Pesach. And I remind you that these are miraculous holidays. Great things happen to Klal Yisrael, so it puts everybody in a good mood. That would be the simple interpretation. However, today I'd like to say a deeper explanation what exactly the joy of Adar is. But in order to understand what I want to say, it shouldn't be a long idea, but it's an important one, and I do have a message that I think is relevant when I'm done. If I forget the message, remind me that I have a message to tell you. So I want to read a Gemara with you. The Gemara is in Ketubot on page 62b. The Gemara tells an incredible story. I want to read it. Now, when you read these stories in the Gemara, there's lessons in the story and there's depth. Just like the halachic part of the Gemara has legislative lessons to know what to do, halachot, mutar, asur, etc. The stories of the Gemara, which these are legends, when I say a legend, I don't mean it didn't happen. It definitely did happen, but you have to read these stories with great analysis as well. There's reasons why the Gemara tells us these episodes. Here's a story that the Gemara says, it begins like this. Rabbi Ya'asek le libre. So Rabbi, which is our great rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he was involved in trying to marry off his son. Be Rabbi Hiya. And he found a girl, the daughter of Rabbi Hiya. Sounds like a good family. Rabbi Hiya is a great rabbi. It sounds like a good shidduch. Ki matan lemechtav ketubah, when they came to write the ketubah, nach nafshe derabita, the bride passed away. And no, it doesn't say why she passed away yet, which was a tremendous tragedy. Amar Rabbi, so Rabbi, the father of the Hatan, he said this is a sign from God. Chas v'shalom pisula ika. Maybe it happened because it wasn't meant. Maybe these families are not compatible. So they started to look at the lineages. I don't know why they didn't look at the lineages before, but they started to look at the lineage after the fact. Yatibu ve'ainu b'mishpachot. So they started to look at the mishpachot. Rabbi ate mishifte bat avital, or shifatya ben avital. The B we know came from the family directly of David HaMelech. He's a direct descendant of one of King David's wives, which makes him the direct descendant of the king. So he comes from blue blood, the royal dynasty. And Rabbi Chaya's family did not come from David's family, they came from a cousin, a different family. And therefore, he realized that it seems that the rabbinical family of Rabbi, which is from King David, which is the the royal family, we'll call it. So it seems that this was beneath that family to marry into the Bihya. So, God, in His infinite wisdom, settled the score over there. I didn't come to talk about that part of the story. That's not a happy part at all. The next part. So he went to find another bride. And he found the daughter of Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra. Now, I'm sure they did their homework this time, and they checked the families, and they don't want to have, God forbid, lightning strike twice. Paskule tartes sare shenin lemezal beber rav. Incredible. So at the Ketubah, nobody died over here, thank God, but there was an incredible condition that was made at the Ketubah. In the olden days, it was customary that they would get engaged, not like we get engaged. It was an official engagement, a halakhic engagement with a ring, and they wouldn't consummate the marriage until a year later. It gave the hatan a chance to make some money, to buy a house. It gave the bride a chance to prepare the dowry and get clothes and do all the different preparations. So that's the way they would do it. They would have a long halakhic engagement. But over here the deal was that they get engaged and then they're not going to consummate the marriage until 12 years later. You talk about a long engagement. Now what's 12 years? To give the rabbi, the hatan, a chance to go learn. To go learn in the yeshiva. In the olden days, this was acceptable. You remember Rabbi Akiva, for example, when he got married to his wife, the condition was that she lets him go. She lets him go learn, and he studied for 12 years. Then he came back, and his wife didn't know that he was in the kitchen, and she said, "If my husband can hear me, I would tell him to go back for another 12 years." And he didn't even say hello. He went back to the yeshiva, and he came back after 12 years. So. Listen, that was a custom in the olden days that the girls, they appreciated it that the husband should be a scholar. And so they said, you can go for 12. That was the deal. That's what he wanted. And of course, she accepted it. The Beit Yishai, incidentally, as a side point, he said, where did they get this number 12 years from? So he says, because we have 6 orders of the Mishnah, Shisha Sedre Mishnah. And each order, first you have to learn it, because all this was, you have to learn the text. So he says it takes you a year just to get the text correct. And then after you get the text, then you have to study it with analysis. So each order of the Mishnah would take 2 years to study. So 6 orders, each one takes 2 years, you know how to do the math, that would be 6 times 2, so there you go, there's your 12 years. So it was a calculated reason why he asked for 12 and not 13, and not 11. He wanted to go through the whole Mishnah, know it, and give the proper analysis. He says, Paskule tartes sare shemin emezal beber rav. That's what they did at the Ketubah ceremony, they made that condition. That's what they do. The Ketubah, interesting story. At my Ketubah, Hachem Baruch, my rabbi, Alva Shalom, he did something I never saw him do before, and I don't think he did it after. The Ketubah, at my son, he was writing it, and it's a Ketubah that's written already. It's all the conditions are standard conditions. Every Hatan has the same conditions. It's a text. You just have to sign it and make a kinyan. I don't know why, but he turned to my wife, and he said, Sandra, do you have any extra conditions that you want me to put in the Ketubah? Why are you giving her this courtesy? No bride ever gets a courtesy to throw in. So I'm just thinking to myself, what does she know about conditions? She doesn't know about conditions. She's going to say, no, Rabbi, it's fine. And of course she says, yes, I have a condition. And now I'm thinking about it, it had to be set up. Because she said to the rabbi, she comes from, she lived in Deal all her life. So she's a Deal girl. I'm bringing her to Brooklyn. Against her will, practically. So she says, you know, the rabbi's in Brooklyn, he has a congregation. He's never going to go to Deal. He's never going to visit my family. He has to go every Sukkot and spend Sukkot and Deal with my family. Kabaru took the gavel. Yes, so be it. That's what happened. I got bamboozled over here between the rabbi and my wife. They got together. I was the video cameras on. What am I going to say? No, everybody's looking at me over there. You accept? I said, I accept. You know, you put a gun to somebody's head. I have no choice. So I accepted. Anyway, for many years, for the first, could be 15 or more years, I would have to go for Sukkot. And when the congregation would be upset at me, he said, Rabbi, you're the rabbi of the congregation. You leave a Sukkot? I said, I was in my ketubah. I can't get out of it. This is something that I didn't ask for, but Hashem Baruch put it in my ketubah. P.S. After a while, the congregation grew, and Sukkot became too important to leave. I had to go to three rabbis, and they had to absolve me of this, you know. And I had to get, of course, Sandra's permission to absolve me as well. She wasn't too happy, but nonetheless, that's the story. So, by the way, I should show her this Gemara. She got off easy. This rabbi told his wife, I'm going to learn 12 years in the yeshiva. It means away. But she accepted it. But then look what happened. Ahlefua kameh. I don't know how the details of it, but it says they brought the bride to be. They just paraded her in front of the groom. She just walked by him and he saw her. Amar lehu neveshicheni. He said, okay, 6 years. Already, he just saw the bride. He said, okay, forget about 12. We'll make a deal, six. Ahlefua kameh. So they said it worked. So they let her walk in front of him again. Amale, okay, ichnis, let me get married now. Vehadat izil. And if they get married, then I'll go to learn. And that's what he ended up wanting to do. He wanted to get married immediately to her. And then after they get married, they'll consummate the marriage, and then they'll go to the yeshiva. So the deal changed. But he was embarrassed to tell his father. Because here, you know, he's a big man, he's going to go learn 12 years, and now all of a sudden, he's going to get married first, and then go. He felt that maybe that's not the, you know, the proper thing. He felt that maybe he's, you know, lowering the standard. Hava kam machsit me abu. So he was embarrassed from his father. Amale. So his father tells him, his father's Rabbi, Ben Rakadosh. Beni, my son. Da'at koncha yesh becha. He says, you're unbelievable. Don't be embarrassed. You're following the way of God. You have the wisdom of God. You have the wisdom of your Creator. Why? Mikara ketiv. It says when the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they said, Tibi'emo v'tita'emo, that God said to the Jewish people when we came out of Egypt, that He's going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and He's going to build us the Beit HaMikdash. And the Gemara tells us that the building of the Beit HaMikdash is tantamount to the marriage between us and God. Because after all, what is a marriage? A marriage is you have a house and you live together in a house. So until we had a Beit HaMikdash, we really weren't married to God. We didn't have a house. So God says, I'm telling you now, we're going to come out of Egypt, we're going to get to Eretz Yisrael, and God says, I'm going to marry you. We're going to build a Beit HaMikdash, and that's what we're going to do. And then what happens? Unbesof ketiv. But what ended up happening? Ve'asuli mikdash v'shakanti betocham. In the middle of the midbar, God said, I can't wait for you. I can't wait to get married. I need to build a house now. And what did he do? He told the Jewish people to go build a mishkan in the desert. We were shocked. Already the Hatan said he needs time. And now the Hatan, something happened. And God said, no, I can't wait for that big house. We need to build a house immediately. And the Jewish people would go and they would build a It was a modest home. It wasn't like the Beit HaMikdash in Jerusalem, arguably, but it was a Mishkan, and it's called a sanctuary, a tabernacle, it's a miniature house. So therefore, he was telling his son, you did exactly what God did. God originally said the wedding is later, but then he couldn't wait. And instead, he made the wedding earlier. Rashi HaKadosh says what I said. I'm going to quote you, Rashi. Da'at koncha yeshbecha, she'amar larhig zeman chupato. Originally God said the chupah should be far out. V'chazar v'kirba. But God then brought it earlier, mirov chibat kalato. From the love that he had for us, who was the bride. So that she says, what happened? Me'ikara ketiv, tebi'emo v'teta'emo b'ham nahalatecha machon eshiftecha. Shiavod Eretz Yisrael v'hakach yivnu din Mikdash. The first they go to Eretz Yisrael and they build the Mikdash. But what happened? Ubasof Amar v'asuli Mikdash. Rashi says v'asuli Mikdash where? Bamidbar, which is many years earlier than the original wedding invitation said. So he told his son, "What are you worried about? You're following the ways. You're following the ways of God." I asked a simple question on this Gemara. Incidentally, side point, I saw brought down in a sefer called Ba'ali La'aris, the student of the Hatam Sofer, the Pasuk says, when God told us to build this Mishkan, Ve'asuli Mikdash, Ve'shakanti Betocham, build for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell in your midst. It was like a marriage, I will dwell amongst you. And then it says, Kechol Asher Ani Mar'e Otecha, whatever I'm going to show you how to build this thing, et tavit ha-mishkan, the blueprints of the Mishkan, ve'et tavit kol kelav, and how to create all the vessels, ve'chen ta'asu. Now the word ve'chen ta'asu sounds like that whatever I'm telling you to do at this Mishkan, ve'chen ta'asu, you'll do this also in the future. Ve'chen ta'asu. And all the rabbis ask, what do you mean you'll do this in the future? We never built a Mishkan again. There's no future. We're building the Mishkan at that time. So the rabbi comes along and says, no, it's saying, v'chen ta'asu, that if you're ever in a situation like this rabbi's son that told the bride that he's going to get married later on, v'chen ta'asu, follow what I did. I brought the marriage earlier. V'asu, v'chen ta'asu, that when apply this lesson of making the marriage earlier out of love of the bride, like I did. V'chen ta'asu in your own lives. And then the next pasuk says, "Va'asu aron, build for me an aron, which is the Sefer Torah, which means first get married and then go study Torah. Va'asu aron, then go learn for however many years you want." So he gives a remez to this from the actual pasukim. My question is the following: if we're to understand this Gemara, I understand what motivated the rabbi's son to make the wedding much earlier, 12 years earlier than he intended. The Gemara tells us, the bride walked by him. I'm not explaining this in a mundane way, of course. Don't think, Chas v'Shalom, I would ever suspect the great tzaddikim that because the bride walked by him, and all of a sudden, so obviously there's something deeper, but nonetheless, we know that it was the bride that did something. She walked by him and it caused him to say, okay, we'll get married right away. I want to know, what did the Jewish people do? Oh, very good. Very good. Let me just finish the question. Ladies, you're too fast. I don't think that fast. What did the Jewish people do to the Hatan that God said, I can't wait. I can't wait to Jerusalem. We need to do it now. We must have walked by him. And when we walked by him, he said, oh, look at the bride. No, go tell them to collect money. We need to build the Mishkan right away. So I want to know at what event. So I heard here in the bat call that was mentioned. In the bat call was mentioned that when the Jewish people said, Na'aseh b'nishma, I must agree with that opinion. I found the Midrash that supports it. The Midrash says that if you look at the order of the Sefer Torah, The parashiot that we're reading now, we read Yitro and Mishpatim, which incidentally both of them talk about the giving of the Torah. Mishpatim also, you'll see when you read it this week, a lot of it is the details of what happened at Matan Torah. Actually, in this week's parasha, it says the words Na'aseh v'Nishma, which are the words we said when we received the Torah. And next week's parasha is Teruma, when we started to build the Mishkan. So the Midrash says, when God heard the Jewish people say Na'aseh v'Nishma, oh, look at the bride. The bride says, sight unseen. I didn't even have to tell the bride what I'm asking. And the bride says, whatever you ask me, God Almighty, I will do. So Borei Olam says, how could I not get married to them right away? I told them 40 years from now? No, we're getting married tomorrow. Go tell the people, collect money to build the Mishkan. So yes, that's one beautiful, well-sourced interpretation of why the Hatan God preempted to build. However, I'd like to say another explanation based on what I found in the Midrash in Shir HaShirim. You know, ladies, the custom we have in our community is we read Shir HaShirim every week. Shir HaShirim is one of the five books. It's the holiest of all the books. It was written by King Solomon. It was written with great wisdom. The custom that we have is we read it on Friday nights in the synagogue. We pray, Mincha, then we read Shir HaShirim. Some say it before. There was different customs in the old country. But it's a very holy book. The book basically talks about the love that God has for the Jewish people. That's the whole book. It's just in the beautiful poetic words. So in the second chapter, the pasuk says, "Ani Habaselet Hasharon." Habaselet Hasharon. The simple explanation means there's a certain rose, beautiful rose. I guess it's a rare breed of a rose. It's called Habaselet Hasharon. So, in God's eyes, God says, "You are like this precious rose in my eyes." Ani Habaselet Hasharon. Shoshana, this Shoshana, this rose that grows in Ha'amakim, in the valleys. But the Midrash comes along and says, the Jewish people are talking. Ani, Shehebebani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meshiv'im HaUmot. Ani Habaselet HaSharon. God loves me. God loves me, the Jewish people, more than all the nations. After all, He married us. He didn't marry any of the nations. So the Midrash says, why? Why does He love us so much? Habaselet HaSharon Sha'asiti lo tzel al yedei Betzalel. Oh. So it learns the word Habaselet as an abbreviation. Habib Betzel. God says, I love you because of the tzel. Because of the shade. There was a man that actually was in charge of building the Mishkan. His name was Betzalel. Betzalel is like Betzel. He had the image of God. So therefore, God says, you know why I love you? Ani Habaselet. I love you because of this guy of the Tzel, of Betzalel, because he built the Mishkan. Uchti vayaz Betzalel ta'aron. Hasharon? Habaselet Hasharon. What does Sharon mean? Sharon is a, today that's a name they use, but it's a modern name. But Sharon in Shir HaShirim, She'amarti lefanav shira al yedei Moshe. Sharon milashon shir. God said, you know, I love you. I love you because when you left Egypt, you sang a beautiful song to me. You sang the song as Yashir Moshe. So God says, there's two reasons why I love you. Number one, Habaselet, the Mishkan. And number two, Hasharon, that you sang. You sang a song. What's the song you sang? As Yashir Moshe. And I'm saying, what's the connection between these two things? The Jewish people earned God's admiration because of Habaselet HaSharon, the Habib of the Tzel of Betzalel of the Mishkan, and the song that we sang. And here's where I come to say the great Chiddush. Ladies, we are coming to Purim. Purim is a great story. It's an old story that repeats itself throughout history. It's the story of anti-Semitism.
In this case, Haman was a real anti-Semite that comes from the same cloth as Hitler. Yimach Sheman v'zichram. Hitler and Haman had the same idea. Genocide. He wanted to get rid of the Jewish problem. The only difference between Haman and Hitler was more patient. Hitler said, I'll take 3-4 years if it takes, but at the end of the day, if I can get rid of all of them, I'll do it. Haman didn't have the same patience. Haman wanted to do it in one day. Could you imagine? Imagine the Holocaust, lo alinu velo alechem, with all its atrocities. Haman wanted to do the same thing, but he didn't want to wait 4 years. He wanted to do it in one day. That means you wake up, 24 hours later, there's no more Jews in the world. They all disappeared. They didn't disappear. And he had the machinery of genocide in order. The machine was there. He had the money. It cost money. By the way, I don't have to tell you the history. They did studies that a lot of the money that paid for the genocide against the Jews came from the Jews. The money that the Nazis confiscated from the Jews when they went into their homes and, you know, pillaged their homes and looted their homes, they took from that money to pay for the machines, to pay for the lo alenu, for the systematic killing of millions. Hashem yom kum damam. You need money for everything. So Haman went, and doesn't say he raised it, but he was a rich man, Haman. And he took out a ton of money. The Megillah says, Aseret alafim ki kar kesef. How much is Aseret alafim ki kar kesef? I don't know how I would tell you this. I can't tell it to you in dollars and I can't tell it to you in euros. But I could tell it to you, put it this way. Let's just give a mashal. 10,000 kikar kesef. What is one kikar kesef? Let's see what one is, because he gave 10,000 kikar kesef. But let's go with what one is, then we can imagine what 10,000 is. The Torah says that when they raised the half shekel coins that I talked about, they used to raise it from all the men between 20 and 60. That's about 600,000 men. All the monies that they raised from 600,000 men, half shekels, you put it all together, how much does it come out to? One kikar kesef. Wow. One kikar kesef. That's all the money that they collected. I take it back. The Torah actually says it comes out to 100 kikar kesef. Okay, a little better. One kikar too small. 100 kikar kesef. So this is 100 times more than what they collect. That means what they would collect, the Jewish people, in 100 years, Haman was willing to pay it in one shot from his own pocket to write the check. And in the memo, what does he put in the memo? Genocide of the Jewish people, for the Holocaust. He wants the zechut. And he tells Ahasuerosh, don't worry about the money. V'aseret alafim kikar kesef ishkol al yedei oseh melacha. It's on me. And of course, Ahasuerosh wants the zechut himself. No, I want to pay. Look at that. They're fighting. Who's going to pay for the mitzvah? It's no mitzvah. Now we read the Gemara, what it says. I'm reading the Gemara, Megillah, page 13. Amar Reish Lakish, Galui v'yadua lifnei mi she'amar v'yeh ha'olam. God knows. God knows everything. God has the history in front of him before it happens. She'atid Haman lishkol shekalim al Yisrael. God knows that Haman was going to spend a lot of shekalim to kill the Jewish people. Lefichach hikdim shekleihem lishkalav. So therefore God said, we need to preempt Haman's shekalim by us doing shekalim. We need to give shekalim before Haman gives his shekalim. V'haynu detnan be'ehar be'adar mashmi'im ba'da shikalim. That's why we give the shikalim, like I mentioned, on the Chodesh Adar. Ladies, I want to explain to this Gemara now once and for all in its depth. When did Haman take the money and write the check for his 10,000 shekalim? We know when. On the 13th of Nisan. That's a year before the day of the genocide. It took him a year just to prepare everything with letters and making everything. But he wrote the check a year before on the 13th of Nisan. So the Gemara says, God says, you're writing the check on the 13th of Nisan? The Jewish people already are giving the shekalim, their shekalim, a month before. So therefore, as if to say, our shekalim neutralized your shekalim, because Haman's plan failed. You know that. I hope I didn't ruin the story of Purim for you. But at the end, the Jewish people got saved. I'm sure you remember it from last year. His plan blew up in his face. As a matter of fact, he ended up on the tree, and the 10,000 shekalim, nothing happened. And the Gemara tells us why. You know what saved us from this anti-Semite? Our shekalim that come a month before, because we give the shekalim in Adar. He didn't write the check until Nisan. So whose shekalim come before? Ours came before him. So as if to say, when he wrote the check, God tells Haman, you're a month late. The rest of the Jewish people gave their shekalim for the temple a month before. So therefore, it's like a midah keneged midah. God says, our shekel, although by the way, I just want to point out, whatever we're going to give for shekel is clearly not the same amount. It's much less, as I told you. But God doesn't count. He says, you gave your shekalim for the mikdash, it'll neutralize. I ask you a simple question. And I'm getting to a very big secret. I know it's taking me time to get it out, but I'm getting there. Did the Jewish people give shekalim in the times of Haman? Oh, hazakah berucha. There's a good reason why they didn't. There was no temple. There actually was a temple, but it was being built. It was, and actually, Ahasuerus put a stop order. Ahasuerus put a stop order on the temple, so the temple wasn't being built. So what is this Gemara even talking about? That they come along and say, oh, you beat him. When did we beat him? 200 years ago when we collected? There's no Beit HaMikdash. That year of Purim, I mean, I always thought, there's no Beit HaMikdash, so the rabbi would get up, Rabotai, there's no collections this year until, we'll let you know when we're going to start collecting again. The temple should be rebuilt. But this year, but the Gemara says, no, that year they collected. Here's the secret. This is not only the secret to explain this Gemara, this secret over here is the key to overcome anti-Semitism. Because the Jews, whatever they did, it worked. Haman wasn't able to kill us. I think which we should know this, because anti-Semitism, like in all generations, but in our time especially, is rearing its ugly head again. In our parts as well, especially in our parts locally, not only in Europe anymore, but even in North America, even in the East Coast, where we live, we see these stories every day. There's a reason why we have a guard outside our shul. This is not something that always was. This is a new phenomenon in our community. Our synagogues now look like fortresses. They never looked like that before. Our synagogue, there was no such thing as a lock on the door. Why would you put a lock on a synagogue? The door was open 24 hours a day. You just come in, you come out. Nobody thought otherwise. Shuls are looking different now. Every shul has a security house in front of it in order to protect it. So obviously, this is something we should be concerned about. So this rabbi over here called Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz tells us the secret. He says like this. The Jews in the times of Ahasuerus, they went to the party. Jews love to go to parties, which I tell you. They went to the party. And it was an avon to go to the party. It wasn't avon because it wasn't kosher food. There was kosher food, and there was kosher wine, and they had a mashgiyah. You know, today you can go anywhere in the world, there's a Chabad, and they get you kosher food. And so the Chabad in Paras Umaday, they got them, you know, kosher food. Not airplane food, they got good kosher food like they're supposed to. They ate, so technically you could ask me, okay, so kosher food, kosher wine. Let's say even if it was separate seating for those that want that, they had separate seating also. Beautiful. So what's the problem? What was the big crime that they went to the party? We all know it was a sin, but it's hard to figure out what the sin was. What was it again? They enjoyed it. Well, you're not allowed to enjoy a party? Okay, ladies, I'm glad that you're participating today. Anyway, the Gemara tells us why. The party was made specifically as a celebration of Ahasuerus. That he believed, he made a miscalculation, but he believed, based on his miscalculation, that the second temple, which everybody thought would be rebuilt, is not going to be rebuilt. That's what he believed. And when he came to this conclusion, he was happy. So he said, I'm making a party to celebrate the non-rebuilding of the second temple. And to celebrate it, he confiscated the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, and he dressed up at the party as the Kohen Gadol. Parentheses. That's why one of the reasons why we wear costumes on Purim, because this actually was a costume party. And the biggest masquerade was Ahasuerus. So imagine you're sitting at a party. Now they don't know what they're there for. Ahasuerus, free food, kosher food, the king invites you, you go to the White House, it's a nice zichut. All of a sudden Ahasuerus comes out dressed like the Kohen Gadol. What is this here? Now at that point, everybody should have got up and left. This is an Arabic, they say, you're going to watch the Kohen Gadol now, his clothes be defiled, and Ahasuerus is using all the vessels, he starts taking the vessels of the temple, puts them on the table, using them, defiling them, and he got up and he said, Rabotai, the temple is not going to be rebuilt. It's over. And the Jewish people, they accepted that premise. I read now from the rabbi. Ki Yisrael ne'inshu shenehenu mis'udat Ahasuerus. Like somebody said, they enjoyed the party. What does it mean they enjoyed the party? V'haynu af ki lo achlu davar isur. They didn't eat anything that was forbidden. Chas v'shalom. Rak ha'se'uda haya. The party's premise was Vasimha she Yisrael lo yigalu od. The Jews are not going to be redeemed. Vehem ne'enu mizeh v'nityashu gam ken min ha'geula. The Jewish people bought into this false narrative, and they came along and said, "We might as well get drunk because there's no geula. God forgot about us. There's no temple. It's not happening." And they started to believe what Ahasuerus was telling them, and they made what's called Yi'ush. Yi'ush means desperate, which means they became desperate to the extent where they just gave up hope. Of course, God gets angry. God says, "I told the prophets I'm going to build a second temple. What do you believe in this creepy guy, Ahasuerus? Because he puts on the big hat of the Kohen Gadol. He knows anything? Is he tipesh? What are you believing him?" But the Jews fell into it, and everybody's talking, there's no more temple, forget it, it's over. So God said, "You give more credibility to Ahasuerus than to my prophets?" Now watch. All of a sudden Haman comes, and Haman starts collecting all his shekalim to pay for the Holocaust. That year, the Jewish people, after Mordechai, gave them a rebuke. Mordechai said, "You know why this is happening to us? Ladies, the party happened in the third year of the kingdom. Haman's decree didn't happen till years later, till the 12th year of the kingdom. So really they forgot about the party. The party was in the third year. This was many years later. But Mordechai remembered it. So he told the people, "You know why this is happening to us? You don't remember you went to the party? Now there was no Facebook in those days, they couldn't show any pictures of it, but they were all there. This is a payback, we went to the party. So they told Mordecai, how can we make a tikkun for this? How can we make a tikkun? He says, you offended God. You said, he's not building us a temple anymore, he forgot about us, we don't want to go back, we want to stay. So he said, you have to show God that you want a temple, and you want a Beit HaMikdash, and you're eager, and that you're excited for it, and that you want it. So, okay, Mordechai, tell us what we could do. He said, now, already the month of Adar is coming. Everybody go collect shekalim. They told him, shekalim? There's no Beit HaMikdash, what are we collecting shekalim for? Listen to Ya'arot Devash says, וכאשר אחשוורוש בתקילת מלכותו, the beginning of אחשוורוש's reign, ביטל הבניין. He put a work order, a stop order on the temple. היו רשאים להפסיק, they could have stopped מלפרוש שקלים, they could have stopped giving the שקלים. After all, if there's no temple, there's no reason to give שקלים. אבל הם הביאו שקליהם. They brought the שקלים anyway. כי חיכו, because they waited, kol yom yitbatel hagezerah, that on the day that Ahasuerus lifts the stop order, v'yeh shekalim muchanin, the money is ready, la'avodat bet Hashem. They said, we know we don't have any use for it yet, but put it in the treasury. The day that the temple will resume to be built, bingo, we have the millions of shekalim ready, to go build. Instead of the Jewish people saying, why should we give money now? What do we have? There's nothing to give for. So no. We have such an anticipation that the temple will be rebuilt. We want to pay now, even though we might not use it until later. Look at the Arut says, Arut Devash, V'haya ze lechapara. This was the kapara. The same Jews that gave up on the temple now came along and had yearning for the temple. The same Jews that went to the party and said, it's over, now Hashem said, what are you giving shekalim for? There's no better than that. That's what we thought. But we're wrong. There'll be a temple one day, and these shekalim one day are going to be used. So he says, V'ineh, Achshav mechakim lishu'at Hashem ki yavo. Now they were waiting for the salvation of God that will come. And therefore we understand a tremendous item he's saying here now. The Jews in the times of Purim gave a voluntary shekel. A shekel that would be used for future time. But look what that did. When God sees that the Jews are excited to build a temple, that is the greatest antidote means a cure for anti-Semitism. God says, you want to build a temple? You're yearning to build a temple for me? Haman, finish. That desire to build the temple, and not only was it a desire, it was backed up by, they put their money, albeit not a lot of money, half a shekel is not a lot of money, but it's something. Why should I give half a shekel if I can keep it in my pocket? And they all donated. God says, their shekalim that year, which was a voluntary donation of a shekel, because it was not necessary, it broke the anti-Semitism of Haman. Dear ladies, I saw brought down in one of the holy books that is why the month is called Adar. Adar comes from the Hebrew word dar, or dira. A dira is a place where we live. Because it was in Adar that the Jewish people would always come along and support the place where God lives. When they had a Mishkan in the desert, they gave the shekalim. When they had a temple in Jerusalem, they gave the shekalim. And even when they didn't have a temple or a Mishkan, they still gave it with the anticipation that God will dwell amongst us. And now I go back and say something that the Sfat Emet says. The Sfat Emet says something amazing. You know, everybody knows b'shenichnas adar malbim b'simcha. We all know that. But I'm sorry to tell you, you see signs up in the shuls now. Everybody says b'shenichnas adar. They sing b'shenichnas adar. Everybody's singing their songs now. But I'm sorry to tell you, and I don't know why they did it, they forgot to tell you the beginning of the statement. That b'shenichnas adar is part of a big statement. But they cut it. Today, cut and paste. They could do it. They photoshopped it. They cut out the first half. I guess they didn't like the first half, what it said. So they just put the second half. Okay, what does the first half say? The first half says, Aha, hazaka berucha. Keshem mishenichnas av mema'atim besimha kach mishenichnas av adar. Okay, that is your list. Kach mishenichnas adar marbim besimha. You forgot the first half. The first half says that just like when the month of Av comes, it's in the summer, the month of Av, we minimize our simcha. So too, when the month of Adar comes, we maximize our simcha. There was some sort of correlation here. We're comparing. We're saying just like in Av, we decrease, we know, we don't even want to talk about it. The month of Av, Chabe Av, the simcha goes down. So say, just like in Av, we decrease, when I saw the whole statement in front of me, I said to myself, is there a connection between these two simachot? You're comparing Av and Adar. Whenever you say Kishem, Kishem means just like over here we're doing a decrease, over here we increase. There's two different months. This is a happy month, a sad month. What are you comparing the 2 months for? What are you even putting these 2 months in the same sentence? The sad month is a happy month. Says the Sfat Emet. Because they have the same underlying factor. Why do we decrease our simcha in the month of Av? Because of the destruction of the temple, because we don't have a temple. And do you know what the Gemara is saying? That's precisely the reason why we have simcha in Adar. Because that's the time when we start to give money in order to remind ourselves of the building of the temple. Which means it's the same exact reason that caused us to be sad in Av, because the temple is destroyed, but when Adar comes, we're happy. You know what makes us happy? The anticipation of the building of the temple. Now, in the times of Purim, they actually gave the Shekelim when they didn't have to. Today, we have the Sefer Torah. That means on Shabbat before Adar, we're reading Shekalim. What are you reading it for? There's no Beit HaMikdash. No, we're so excited that if we read it, God willing, it'll happen. And we're excited. We're reading something that doesn't even apply today. So therefore, according to the Sfat Emet, the Simcha of Adar is not Purim v'Pesach. The Simcha of Adar is the Shekalim. That's the Simcha. Because when we talk about Shekalim, it reminds us of the good days of the temple. That's the joy. Now imagine, and here's the message that I came to tell you. I remember. That's exactly what we're going to do. You got it. Ladies, imagine I would tell you that there's a chance for us to raise Shekalim today. Not only to raise Shekalim for some future event. When the Jews came out of Egypt, I must finish my thought. When the Jews came out of Egypt, what did they say when they sang the song? When they sang the song, they said, Ze eli ve'anvehu. The Targum says, what does it mean, Ze eli ve'anvehu? I'm reading the Targum now. Den elahi ve'abne le'bet mekdesha. This is my God, and I want to build them a house. That's what we said when we came out of Egypt. Says Shir HaShirim. God says, what? Look at the bride. When the bride came out of Egypt, she walked in front of me. Not only when we said Na'aseh v'nishma. Before that, when we came out of Egypt, we were saying, Den Elahi, this is my God, I don't want to build him a temple. So you know what God said? I'm not waiting for Jerusalem. That was the bride walking in front of the Hatan. We showed him love. We said, we want to build it now. We don't want to wait. And God said, you know what? Go tell the Jewish people, collect right now. We're going to build it in the Midbar. What changed? And that's why it says, Ani Havaselet HaSharon. What caused Habaselet? What caused God to tell the Tzel, Habatzel, Bitzalel to build the Mishkan? HaSharon, the song. HaSharon, the Shira. When the Jews sang the Shira at the time of the Exodus, that was the bride prancing in front of the Hatan saying, we want to build you a house. So God said, I told them 40 years that, no, we're not waiting for, build it in the Midbar. Bi'choli teruma. And the Ya'arot Devash says, that whenever Jews have an anticipation to build God a house, our enemies fall. Haman falls. Even if we don't build it, just the idea to participate. Ladies and gentlemen, I know there's not gentlemen here, but there's gentlemen listening. There's gentlemen that are listening, and we need them too. We have a great opportunity, and the timing is perfect. We are building a synagogue. We are doing it. It's a rare occasion in our community when a synagogue is being built. It's a mishkan. The Torah says it's a mitzvah to build God sanctuaries even in the exile, or especially in the exile. But it doesn't happen every day. How often do you hear about a temple of God that's being built? I have good news. One day this class that we have in this modest rented building that we're very appreciative to have is going to move. It's going to move to a new structure, a beautiful structure. And we made sure when we made the plans that the ladies have the best accommodations for our class. Well, I know you're going to complain anyway, but the best we could do, that already we prepared. Same seats, don't worry, same seats. You can bring the seat with you. Ladies, if you walk by our property, it's not our property, it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. This property was already destined from the 6 days of creation to be a temple. You see already there's a lot of beams, there's a lot of movement. That means we're working. However, this is the first time we're coming to our kahal, and our congregation, including our ladies, to ask them to be part and to participate in this structure. To participate, to help the rabbi, and to help, of course, Shekhinah first, to do this. This is our version of going around raising shekalim, not millions of dollars from each person, but asking each person for his volunteerism for a few hours in order to help us raise these funds at this time during Adar, not for a dream, not to raise money for one day, not to raise money to put it in the bank for one day that we'll have a temple. We have a temple. It needs to be finished. And we're at the end. You know, they call that a culmination. That when you end of a project that's very long, they say we're at the culmination of it. We're at the culmination of this great project for a holy nation, our community, our congregation, to enter it, God willing. This Sunday morning in our synagogue, right here, ladies, I'm asking you all as a personal favor. We have a meeting with all of our members from all of our different shi'urim. And at that meeting, which will start at 9:30 over a catered breakfast, on me, catered breakfast, there'll be a small dirash by myself, not more than 10 minutes, just to explain what we need from you. In a few weeks, we're going to make a big campaign. We're going to ask our members if they can come and participate to help us. You'll have instructions how to help us raise some money. We're not asking anybody for money. If you want to give us money, we need it a lot, but we're not asking you for money. We're asking you to help us raise it, and we have a plan. It's only a 24-hour plan, and God willing, if we could raise that money, we'll be fulfilling shekalim, not in theory. We'll be fulfilling shekalim indeed. Mishenichnas Adar will be able to bring a dira to the Shekhinah. So I'm asking you, if you attend this meeting on Sunday morning, if you're available, after the meeting, which should end about 10:15 or 10:30 the latest, you'll be given a hard hat, and we're going to take a walk to the new property, and you'll be able to get the first tour of the property. Nobody has walked on this property yet, because it's not safe, but we shorted up today with the steps and everything, just so you can get a feeling of the reality of what we're about to do. This cannot come at a better time, this campaign. Mishneknas Adar, Be'ahad Be'adar Mashmi'im Ala Shekalim. In the olden days, they would announce it. Today, we're not only announcing it, but we have a project that the Shekalim will actually be able to find itself. So, it is my wish. Mishneknas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. This temple that we're building, Be'ezat Hashem, is going to end up one day in Eretz Yisrael, like all the Beit Knesiyot. So therefore, it's a great simcha on the night of Kristallnacht, which was the beginning of Hitler's diabolical plan. On that night, in I guess November 1937, that's when it all started. How did he begin the Holocaust? Not with killing Jews, but he burnt in one night 1,000 synagogues. 1,000 synagogues. That means Hitler understood the power of a synagogue. That's the love, that's where the marriage of Klai Yisrael and God is. And he destroyed 1,000 homes he put on fire. So somebody asked me, do we need a synagogue, Rabbi? I said, well, until we replace the 1,000 synagogues that Hitler burnt, then you ask me whether we need a synagogue. Consider this a revenge to what they did to us on that night. And just like the Shekalim of Bnei Yisrael protected us in the times of Haman, the Shekalim that we're about to give to this project will protect our community and protect Klal Yisrael. To our congregation, I say, Ani habaselet asharon. Our congregation is as beautiful like a rose. God says, just because you anticipated at Kiryat Yam Suf to build the temple, already I said, I'm moving the wedding up many years early. I'm telling Bezalel not to wait for Jerusalem. Build it in the Midbar. That's the bride walking in front of the Hatan. And I pray that, Bezat Hashem, we can give God the same Nahat Ruach. I'll see you all Sunday morning. Thank you very much.